Thank you, worship team, and if you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Let's start there. Chapter 9. Does anybody ever read their Bibles up there? Okay, good, good. Rose reads her Bible, good. I think I heard somebody else say amen. Amen, good, good. Now we're... It's so important to read our Bibles. And I wanted to start there in Acts chapter 9, verse 18. Don't forget to write something down. You have something to write with today. Please write something down and take it with you and pray about it tonight. Because God speaks to you. How many know that God speaks to you? Maybe not in an audible voice, but if you open your heart, you will start getting direction from the Holy Spirit. That's true. If you just go through the motions of life, you'll never figure it out. But if you stop for one moment in that quiet place, in that closet when you're alone and nobody's watching, if you want for one moment just stop and clear your mind and say, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to hear you. I want your direction. When you have those moments, you will start hearing from the Lord. Because the Bible says if you seek, you will find. And if you knock, the door will be open. Amen. Those are truths. And they will happen. And the only question is not whether God will start directing you. The only question is, do we open our heart, open our eyes to see Him moving us? So I want to encourage you today that if you seek, you will find. If you ask God to open your eyes, He will open your eyes. Amen. Right? It might not happen that second, that week, but it will happen. He will begin to open your eyes. You will begin to see things differently. And you may be one in church today, and I want to change, or I want to do better. I know God created the world. I mean, how else did that happen, right? The sun and the earth rotating perfectly around it and the atmosphere being perfect so we can breathe, right? You know God, the Creator, and maybe to this morning you have a desire to not just go through the life. You want purpose and you want to know what God called you to do. You want to know what your purpose is in life. And many times we get lost and we get confused and we do our own thing. But we serve a very loving God. Amen. A merciful, patient God. Right? And He forgives. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. The fact that you're still living only means that you're on His mercy watch. Right? Because we already deserve to die. You know that time when you were 2 years old and you lied about the cookie in the cookie jar, that it wasn't you? That's sin, right? Lying. At that moment, we deserved to die according to God's law. But because of His mercy, because of His grace, His patience towards us, His love, because of His love, we have a purpose. So if you are still breathing and maybe you haven't put God first in your life or you haven't received Him as Savior, you're on His mercy time. And I think it's time to get on the grace side, huh? To accept His forgiveness and be counted as worthy to be His child and enter His kingdom. So if you have a heart open this morning and you're hearing, God will speak to you. And write a thought down and write something down. I wanted to start in Acts chapter 9, verse 18. Last week we spoke about the road to Damascus and what happened to Saul, who was named Paul. But we read about that and I wanted to start there and go from there. You know, Jesus is the defender of the church. Jesus said that the gates of hell will never prevail against His church. Amen. Right? And you are the church. We are the church. The gates of hell will never prevail against the church. And as I was reading Acts 9:18, when Saul was killing Christians, that's a pretty bad sin, right? Murder. And Saul was out to destroy Jesus' church. Then Jesus showed up. And it's the same thing for you. When the enemy is out to destroy you, the body of Christ, Jesus will show up. Amen? He will show up. He may not show up early enough for you, right? Like violin playing, get in line. Everybody has a story to tell, right? I wish it would have been done sooner. Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have divorced parents and then the child with the two parents? Why do I have parents who never let me go out? Right? There's always something to complain about. But God is going to show up in His time. His perfect time. God's ways are not our ways. And so Saul is going to kill Christians and planning to arrest them. And there he is on the road to Damascus, and he has an encounter with Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "What are you doing, Saul?" And Saul says, "Who are you?" And he gets blinded by the light. And Jesus is there showing him that he will suffer many things for his kingdom. And go so-and-so and gives them directions. And Saul follows the directions and he's blind. Then he comes to this prophet. And the prophet was told to pray for Saul. And Saul comes and he prays. And this is where we're going to start it. And as he's praying for him, Saul being blind, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And I read that, and that part about the scales coming out of his eyes just sunk into my heart and my spirit in relation to what God has kind of been showing us this year. Our God, you know, we started the year with this phrase for the year: rejoice that our God is on the move. He's moving. And in the middle of the summer, we had a word, prophecy, confirmed by another church about the old is over and a wave is coming. And as I've been praying about that, I got really excited because really God did a few confirmations that were pretty amazing, you know, just things happening and you hearing it from different people. And it was exciting. Okay, so it was like, okay, let's go. And it was kind of like the Spirit was saying, wait. Isn't that like God? He shows you things are going to start happening. You need to prepare in prayer. But now comes the wait. It doesn't mean that what He showed you in the light won't happen, even in trials and darkness, right? But it's wait time. And as I was praying about this, and while we're waiting for God to do something that actually we're not defining what that is, we just know God's gonna move like a wave. And maybe some of you are starting to see some evidence of that movement in your families or in different ways. And it's happening. But as I was praying about that and this read the scripture, it was like, pray before this way. Pray that the scales come out of our eyes. I want you to listen carefully from down deep in your heart and your spirit. Even Christians can be blinded from what God's actually doing. many examples, right? The children in the wilderness, right? Roaming for 40 years, blinded. And many examples of that. Samson was blinded. Not just physically, spiritually. But it was like, we don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss what God is trying to do with us. And if we don't pray for God to scales to come off like they did for Saul, just come off. Because you know what keeps the scales on is when you want to just execute your own plan. Your own plan and your own agenda. Do it your way. I'm going to do my life my way. You want to do that, you will have scales in your journey. That's what Saul was doing. Saul was actually a very religious, faithful, committed to the cause person. He was just wrong. But he was committed to the Mosaic law. But Jesus came and he changed all of that. And it's time for, I believe this fall, we're going to be praying for the scales to come off of our eyes. To be humble enough to say, Lord, we realize we're not perfect. We realize that there's things in our lives we need to surrender. Because if we don't surrender them, we can't see the waves. Even when it's happening, you'll be like, I don't know what's going on. You don't want to miss it, right? You don't want to miss what God is doing. And so this scripture here is kind of a representation of, I think, what God is telling us and is speaking to us in the spirit. It's time for the scales to come off, right? To see it the way God sees it. To recognize when it's Him, right? Not get distracted. You remember when they that video where there's this monkey, and if you don't pay attention, the monkey comes in the circle, out of the circle. And you're like, you don't even see the monkey because there's so much activity going on. It's not a monkey, it's a gorilla, right? And the first time you see it, if you've never seen it before, you won't even recognize that the gorilla came in and took the ball and left. It's really amazing, but that happened. And that's a good illustration for being distracted. And I believe that God's really on the move, and a wave is coming, and He's asking us, don't get distracted. Take the scales off. Pray that you are in His will. So that's what happened to Saul. And maybe that's happened to us. Turn to John chapter 8, verse 1. John chapter 8, verse 1. Has anybody ever been through a trial in life? And some people sometimes say when you go through a trial in life, oh, you must have done something wrong, right? Ever heard that before? Some people don't like to admit that something is going wrong because they think that people are going to think that God's punishing them, right? Ever heard that? Human nature sometimes, right? Everything's going wrong for me. I guess God's punishing me, right? The answer to that is maybe yes, maybe no. But here's a scripture that kind of shows that that's not always the case. In John chapter 8, verse 1. I don't think I saved the right page there. John chapter 8, verse 1. Oh, that isn't the right one. It must be the wrong chapter. Let me try 9. Yeah, that's it. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin that this man, was it this man that sinned? Or was it his parents that sinned that has caused them to be blind? So, pretty direct question. And Jesus said, neither. Has this man sinned? Nor his parents. Now, obviously, Jesus didn't mean that they've never sinned. Right? Obviously, everyone has sinned. But what he meant is that there wasn't a sin that caused this situation. And Jesus said, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. But the reason this is happening is that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Sometimes things are going on because it's about the kingdom of God. You see, that's one of the hardest things for us to separate. Sometimes we go through stuff, but we are supposed to go through it because it's about a greater good and a greater purpose that's beyond our understanding, that helps others to find Jesus, and that's what it's all about. For people loving and caring for other people. And Jesus said, neither. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that has sent me while it is the day and night is cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had this spoken, he spit on the ground, and he made like a little mud spittle, and he anointed his eyes of the blind man with clay, and he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went and washed, and he came out seeing. Jesus demonstrates here a physical healing of the blind, and it is evident that circumstances, hard circumstances, aren't always because of specific sins. But the other is true. The wages of sin is death. You want to go sin, there will be consequences to sin. Amen? But in this example of a physical healing of a blind man is a physical one. But in the Bible, we also read a lot of spiritual blindness concepts. So I want to read one of those. Go to John chapter 9, verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. See, here Jesus was not talking about a physical seeing. Here Jesus said, I came for judgment into this world that they which can't see might see. You know, like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a little man that climbed a tree to see Jesus, and he was stealing from people. Right? And Zacchaeus was blind. Not physically, but he was blind. He couldn't see the truth. But as soon as Jesus came, he made an effort to see him. And Jesus saw the effort. And Jesus said, I'm coming to your house. And then Jesus said, salvation has come. And then all of a sudden, Zacchaeus could see. He saw so clearly that he told Jesus, everybody that I stole from, I'm going to pay him back and more. And when Jesus heard that, he said, salvation has come to this house. Because this man can see what's important. You see, Jesus came to die on the cross so that all of us blind can see. Isn't that awesome? And also the Pharisees and the Sadducees who could see, when Jesus came, got blind. Isn't that amazing? And that's exactly what Jesus says. They that would see, they won't be able to see. And those who couldn't see will see. The Sadducees and Pharisees had the Mosaic law and they were following, like Saul. And they were following it and they saw it and they understood the Mosaic law. They executed it, but they were so busy in that that they could not see. They became blind when the Messiah came. We don't want to miss it. They missed it. They missed the Messiah. They got blinded by their religion, by their own way, doctrine, their own passion in worldly way of doing things, that they missed it. They missed it. They were blinded. Our spiritual eyes are open and we begin to, when our spiritual eyes are open, we begin to recognize sin. Like Zacchaeus, he began to recognize he cheated people and that was wrong and it needed to be remedied, right? His eyes were open. Many of you have loved ones that you've been praying for and they just can't see it how you see it. They can't see that they need Jesus like you can see that you need Jesus. Why? Because they're blind. Or you have friends and loved ones that are making bad choices because the enemy's constantly trying to blind his God's people so they can't see his goodness. Well, it's time to begin to pray for our loved ones that the scales come off. Amen. Just pray for the scales to come off. Because the wave is coming. That they may see the goodness of the Lord. So as I read scripture, as it pertains to spiritual blindness, there's two kinds of things I want to talk about. John chapter 3, verse 1. You are blind, and then you can see when you are born again. And let's read that. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do, except God be with you. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, you are blind. You cannot see. And you wonder why people out there in the world do things that they do, because they can't see God. When you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you go from blindness to sight. It's like that song. I think everybody knows the song Amazing Grace, right? Me and the lawyer are going to sing it as a duet. Ready, lawyer? You ready? No. No, we don't. We don't want to kill it. I once was blind, but now I see. See, being born again. That's one. That's the first step. That is the first step. There's a lot of blindness out there in your friends and your family and your coworkers and the people around you. A lot of blindness. And we need to pray that the scales come off so that they can see. Amen? Because the wave is coming and we want our loved ones and our friends, family to see it. And those of you who are in the Lord also know that we need to pray for our enemies, for the scales to come off of their eyes as well. Amen. So that's one kind of blindness, spiritual blindness, is salvation. Just people cannot see that they need God in their lives. They just ignore God. And we need to pray for them. And the second kind is that kind of blindness when you just are your name is written in the book of life, but you can't see what God's doing. I want to talk about that one for a second. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Well, here Paul heard about the Ephesians and he was very excited. He heard some really good things about them. They're strong in the Lord. And he writes them this letter. And he says in this letter, so this is Paul, the same one who was killing the Christians, had the road to Damascus, was blind and had scales physically, and now can see. And then he starts preaching the name of Jesus. And next thing you know, he's the Apostle Paul. And he's out there and he's now excited about people hearing the name of Jesus and getting saved. And this is what he writes to the Ephesians. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, Ephesians, in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul was so excited that the Ephesians were on fire, as they say, for God. That's one of those phrases that maybe the worship leaders, let's get on fire for God, worship the Lord. That's probably one of the phrases in there. But they were excited about God. They were excited about the name of Jesus. And he was so excited. He says, I cease not to give thanks. I am so thankful to God that you have found Jesus Christ. And then he says, I pray every day for you. And this is what I pray when I pray for you. That God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's pretty deep, right? He's like, he doesn't even know these people yet. And he's like, I'm so excited and I'm writing you this letter and I'm telling you that I'm praying for you every day. And when I pray for you, I'm praying this. I'm praying that you have wisdom and God's giving you revelation, like a wave is coming or like God's on the move. You know, I want you to know, get revelation from God. God's with you. And have knowledge of him. And he also says, I'm also praying for you that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. So he's saying, I'm also praying for you every day that your eyes can see that you are called and destined for greatness. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. In other words, that your spiritual eyes be open to see it, enlightened to it. What is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory and his inheritance in the saints? And what is the and I'm also praying that your eyes can understand and see that is the exceeding greatness of his power toward usward and belief according to the working of his mighty power. In other words, I want you to also see that God's mighty power is going to be at work in what you do. You know, God's doing a lot of amazing things. And if you get too busy with life, you'll miss them. You know, God's doing amazing things. Amen. With your family, with situations. But sometimes you get so busy, you just miss them. So here you have a blindness where Paul is kind of saying, I don't want you to be blind to your calling. I don't want you to be blind to the understanding and knowledge of revelation. I don't want you to be blind to the fact that God's wonders are at work in you. I want you to see what God is doing. See, he's talking to Christians. So there's two kind of blindness situations that I'm trying to get across to you today. And that first one is salvation. And the second one is, as Christians, not being able to see what God is doing. And I believe as we get ready for a wave, for whatever God's doing in his kingdom, I believe he's asking us in the next few weeks, maybe months, to pray that the scales come off. That we can see it. He loves you. He wants the best for you. Can you see it? It is God's will that all come to repentance, all of your family. And I know some of them are struggling and making bad choices, but can you see it? God is on the move. You can choose just to keep going with life, and when bad things happen, you get sad, and when good things happen, you get happy. And it just goes like that. But in Christ, there is peace and joy in the journey, the good times and the bad. Do you want to see it? Do you choose to see it? Many Christians are walking blindly because they hold grudges and bitterness. You want to stop seeing what God's doing is hold a grudge. One of the quickest way that you won't be able to see what God's doing if you want to be angry. Have you seen that happen in your life? You know, I've talked to a few people recently, and sometimes at work, you know, some of them know that I'm pastor, and so sometimes they want to talk to me about work, but then it comes in the personal conversation. And in the last 2-3 months, I've heard a couple of people tell me at work that they had to just forgive because it was killing them. Told it. I said, wow, that's wise. Whether it was a spouse or a situation. One of the quickest ways to put the scales on is to hate your brother. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. Oh, I did it again. It's actually chapter 4, verse 31. I need to say, this is a little bit off track of what I'm talking about, but I think it is related in the sense that we cannot see if we hold on to this. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I'm making this point because this is a barrier to seeing what God's doing in your life. When you hold the grudges, when you hold the bitterness. And you know what? I know they deserve it. I know the people who have angered you or given you something to have a grudge. I know they deserve it. We don't have to have a session. That's not what the Bible says. You're not going to hear the Bible tell you, only forgive when they deserve it. If anybody finds that scripture, let me know, but I haven't found it yet. As a matter of fact, it says the opposite, right? Love your enemies, right? So those of you thinking, but if only you knew, I'm sorry. You want to be free. You want to see what God is doing. You have to surrender bitterness. It's right here. In verse 31. If you go back to verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking be put away. Kill it. Amen? So important, because this is human nature. You know what the world teaches us? Take care of yourself. Justice, they deserve it. But the Bible says love. Because think about it. The wages of sin is death. We deserve to die. And yet, He gave us mercy and grace because He loves us. And because He gave us mercy and grace, do the same to others. Amen? That's pretty big. I mean, we're hearing this thing about seeing what God's doing and getting the scales out. You cannot hold bitterness and anger. One last scripture, we're going to close. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Romans 12. So for those of you that really want to get back at your enemies, or those that wronged you and you really want to get back to them, well, the Bible is very clear that That's God's job, not yours, right? Because it says in verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves." Can't be any clearer, right? So I'm going to have you repeat it after me, all right? I want to be looking to see who's having trouble getting this off their tongue, right? We're going to say it together. Avenge not yourselves. 1, 2, 3. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Whose job is it to right what has been wronged in your life? The Lord Jesus Christ. It's his job, right? You love, you care, you forgive, you move on. I like what Demesa said on one Wednesday night. Choose not to be offended. It's something that we don't talk a lot about, but it's biblical. Choose not to be offended. Choose not to be offended. So I spent a little time on that because that's important. You won't be able to see God move in your life if you're holding the stuff. You won't see the bigger picture. You won't see the wave. You'll be like, what's going on? I'm confused, right? But God is preparing us, and He wants the scales removed, and He's preparing us. So I'm going to ask Michelle to come and play some music. And I want to give you an opportunity to just kind of absorb this thought about the scales coming off. We want to prepare for a wave. We want to be ready. Eloy started the service praying for this community. There's a lot going on in the spirit realm, a lot of activity. God is on the move. And He's on the move for one purpose. It is His will that all come to repentance. God doesn't move just to make you look good and me look good. He's on the move for one purpose only, the kingdom of God to be increased for souls. It is His will that all come to repentance. But it's going to take people praying in the spirit, going into spiritual warfare, praying for your loved ones that need salvation, that the scales come off. And us who are in the Lord, praying that the scales come off, that we don't just go through the motions, that we see what God is doing, that we see His works, that we see His wisdom, His knowledge, His revelation about what's going on in our lives. Because our God is on the move in 2017 and a wave is coming this fall, we will pray that God remove the scale from our eyes because we want to see what He's doing. We don't want to be blind to His move, to the waves of revival or the waves of salvations in that revival or the waves of healing or the waves of signs and wonders. Who knows? But we don't want to miss it. We want to see clearly the works of God. The enemy wants God's people to walk blindly in the wilderness, having no power to take ground for His kingdom. However, as the Holy Spirit reveals to us that we need to be aware of our blind spots. You know, Christians, we have blind spots, right? We need to be aware, and I pray that we're all determined to pray for God to open our eyes so we can see clearly what He's doing. If you're here today and you feel blind, maybe you came to church and want more of God in your life, and this sermon today has kind of made sense in the sense that you feel like you can't see what God's doing, and now you want to. See, it's not any convincing word that will get you to get there. It is a revelation by the Holy Spirit to put it into your heart that it's you. That you understood it because God gave it to you to understand by His Spirit. Not by a preacher. Sure, a preacher has to say something, but it is only His Spirit that sinks down to your heart that makes it clear to you that this is about you. So with your eyes closed, your head bowed. If maybe you came in blind today and you are ready to just ask God to open your eyes. I'm going to ask you to come as Michelle to the front as Michelle begins to sing a song. And I'm going to count to three. And I'm just counting so that you know in your heart when it's time to move. But if you feel like there's been scales in your eyes and you haven't been able to see God in your life, it's time. Today's the day. This message started with something that was said last week about colorblind people. And that thought hasn't left me. And I know the Spirit of the Lord's working on in this for a reason, for such a time as this. You are here today because God wants to take those scales off. So that's you this morning. You want to take that step. Like that blind man that had to go to the pool to cleanse his eyes and then he could see. Taking this step is like that. You're going to take a step, clean your eyes, and you will see. A step to the altar. These scales will come out in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. One, two, three.